In all that you're seeking to do in us and with us and through us, great King, we open our minds and our hearts to receive that which is in your heart for us. I pray that there would be a flexibility in us that says yes to you, that there would be an openness in our heart to receive what it is that you want to give us, that we would be people, Lord, who are able to hear your voice and respond appropriately. May we be such people, Lord, people of your voice, to be able to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I'm really convinced in my spirit that we are standing in a season of change and of transformative kinds of change. That the United States is changing, the nations of the world are changing. You don't have to be a prophet to know that. You just kind of have to pay attention to what's going on in the world. The structures of international power are changing, and I tell you, I'm really excited about all of this because I believe God is moving by His Spirit in unprecedented ways in the nations. In the little bit that we are able to touch Poland and be around Slovakian and Eastern European Czech people and others who we meet, you know, we hear reports of God doing things in the body of Christ that are taking people outside of themselves and bringing them into an attitude of heart that says, "Yes, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be who you want me to be, and I'm willing to step outside of that which has previously determined my boundaries. I'm willing to step outside of that which has been spoken to me authoritatively, which I now recognize is not a legitimate source of authority, that the real legitimate source of authority is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and that we have in general in the body of Christ have been guilty of a misplaced loyalty, where we've given ourselves as loyal to institutions, organizations, people, personalities, persuasions, rather than to the King. And I believe there's a sweep of the Holy Spirit that is setting the body of Christ free from the spirit of the Christian religion. I believe that as we are learning about historic Christianity and the precepts that Christianity has been built upon, we're beginning to ask questions that in previous generations we weren't allowed to ask, let alone pursue the answer to those questions. And I believe that God is setting us free from preconceived notions. So I really challenge you as men and women to look at what you believe, to look at why you believe it, and to look at whether those notions, those belief systems set you free or in fact restrain you and control you from fulfilling your destiny. Jesus has come to set us free. Amen? Amen. And Jesus said, "Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed." He said, "The truth will set you free." And Jesus was living in utter freedom. He was not bound by the preconceptions of his generation. Because he was not only as the Messiah and the King, he was on a mission to set us all free. And one thing the devil does not want is you to be free. He's much rather have you in bondage. And it is amazing to me how many people choose to be in bondage. You know, Janet was talking about some of the churches that we ministered in Poland, and we were just, you know, brokenhearted to see people who chose bondage. And when opportunities for freedom came, they said no. And it's always a blessing when you meet people who are willing to say yes and take the risk. This family, Janet was testifying about, this man and woman, they took the risk of dying, literally, and having their whole family be killed. But they knew that something was wrong with this whole way of thinking about the Jewish people, and they decided that as far as for them and their home, they would not say no to the Jewish people. They said yes. And of course, there were many stories like this. We don't hear a lot of it. And we were privileged to hear a few stories. This was one that is quite outstanding. But we heard of other stories of families who rescued Jewish people at the risk of their lives. And I believe that we are being called into times of taking risks, you know, and risks for one another, risks on behalf of the nation of Israel, and risks on behalf of the body of Christ around the earth. We are in the midst of a battle, beloved. And you need to understand that God is calling you as warriors. You know, he's calling you to be equipped to be, you know, history makers and society changers. You know, it's, and those are not platitudes. Please, I'm not saying that to you in some kind of platitudinal kind of a way. I'm telling you, I believe that when Jesus looks at you, he's looking at you with a heart that says, I want to change you, I want to transform you, I want to equip you, I want to enable you, I want to teach you and train you to sit on my throne with me and rule and reign. And please do not waste your life pursuing anything other than the training work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And God can train you in your workplace, in your school, in your home, and any other place that the Holy Spirit leads you. But it's an attitude of heart that says, yes, Lord, teach me and train me. And do not let any relationship get in your way of that purpose. There are relationships that are toxic, they poison you, and they poison your destiny. You have an authority and a right to say to those relationships, either change, or I'm going to just remove you from my life. That was a good place to say amen. Now, I am not talking about your spouse. So let's be clear about that. That covenant you have with your wife and your husband, you can't say to them, you're toxic and I'm leaving you. You need to do some real serious repenting before you say anything like that, okay? Because it might very well be that the voice of your spouse is really the voice of the Lord. Some of you really did not want to hear that. But you need to hear it because you need to repent. How many of you know that repentance is a great gift that Jesus has given us? And he's given us this gift that we can use every day, all day. And if you're like me, you need to do a lot of repenting. Hallelujah. Are there any other repenters in the house? Hallelujah. If your hand is not up in the air, we need to pray for you. Hallelujah. So listen, this is really, really important stuff. You need to be looking around all of the relationships that you have and asking yourself, are these relationships helping me fulfill my destiny? And if that question engenders another question such as, oh, I didn't know I had a destiny, or I don't know what my destiny is, those are good questions to begin to ask. And ask of people that are in your immediate circle, what are you doing to help them fulfill their destiny, and what are they doing to help you fulfill your destiny, the call of the Lord that's upon your life? Because when Jesus calls you to himself, he calls you with a purpose. He has a plan, he has a purpose to bring you to the throne. Do you understand that? That is God's ultimate intention for the whole body of Christ. And we must be focused on our relationships one with another that are coming alongside one another to help one another fulfill their destiny. Now, that gives me, in my relationships with everybody around me, a lot of freedom both to speak and to listen. Because if I know that somebody has God's will as their motivation for my life, that their heart for me is to see me fulfill what Jesus died to purchase for me, and my heart for them is exactly the same thing, we can speak the truth in love to one another. I can rebuke, exhort, and be rebuked and be exhorted because I know that the motivation of their heart is that on the great day the Lord will say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. And because I have that as my heart for them, I can rebuke and exhort them, speak the truth and love to them, because they know that my desire for them is that on the great day they will hear the Lord say to them, well done, my good and faithful servant. When we have that as a real fundamental motivation for one another, we'll be free to have the kind of godly relationships with each other that we need to have. So much of what has gone on in church, in relationship in church, has been superficial and, in fact, demonic, if you will ask my real opinion on it, because we've allowed the enemy to intimidate us or allowed the enemy to create artificial relationships where we don't really engage one another. It's praise the Lord, how are you, see you. You know, there's the Pentecostal greet, meet and greet and hug somebody. But we never get engaged in one another's life to help disciple one another to fulfill the destiny Jesus has for each other's life. We don't live in community with one another. We go to church together. And I believe that Jesus is coming to transform the body of Christ and to remove from the church as it exists the real bride, the body of Christ, and bring us into relationships with one another that are nurturing one another and focused on that, so that you determine who's in your life and you're able to say to someone, look, if you don't have my destiny in your heart, I don't want a relationship with you. I want to be in relationship with people that have my destiny in their heart. And I want to be a man and a woman. You're going to be the woman. I'm not going to be the woman. That's not... I want you to understand, I'm speaking generally about you saying these kinds of things. Just in case you're thinking that this guy has gender issues, he does not. And before I got saved, I never had those issues, just to make that very clear to you. By the way, brother, who share the same birthday and date, this was our Torah portion that we read today, Lech Lecha. When I was bar mitzvahed, that was the Torah portion that I read, Lech Lecha, which, amen, which turned out to be a prophetic word to me. In fact, the speech that the rabbi wrote for me to speak, and my mother worked me to make sure I had that speech down. I want you to know that. Oh, yes. And the speech was all about the call of Abraham to leave his own people, to go to a people he doesn't know, to tell them about the one true God. And so this has, in fact, been the call of God upon our life, you know. Amen. And that's what we're doing. And God has given us a passion for his church, a passion for his body, to expose the lies that the enemy has cleverly used, strategically used in relationships to rob us, to cause us just simply to be churchgoers or believers and not those who are radically engaged with one another for the purpose of helping one another fulfill each other's destiny. Do you catch that? You must be a man and a woman who is focused in your relationship, and this takes wisdom. This is not something you can do easily, and it is not something that you can do in the flesh. But it's something that you pray. James 1:5 has been a verse very, very close to me as of late, where James is saying, if any man, any woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally without rebuke or without being upbraided or without holding back. And I believe that if you pray for wisdom, listen to me, please, if you pray for wisdom in relation for your relationships with people that are around you, God will begin to speak to you in profound ways. He will speak to you for other people's sake. Listen. So that you can be a vessel and an instrument of their discipleship, their growth, and their maturity. Which also means you might be an instrument that they don't want to be around. Because you will be speaking the truth to them, and you won't be, listen please, you won't be afraid of whether they receive it or not, because whether they receive it or not is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to love them enough to tell them the truth. And you want to draw that out of everybody who stands in this pulpit, that would stand here with a boldness and an authority to tell you the truth without fear that you will leave. Because if you want to leave, that's fine, that's your choice, but you can't leave the Lord's purpose for your life. And if you don't want to leave his purpose, you're going to put yourself, you are going to make a decision for your own soul that says, God, I'm going to plant myself where you have called me, so that I can grow into the fullness of who you are in me, in this environment, whether I like it or not, it's not the issue. Because you can say, well, I don't like those people, and Jesus can, he might turn around and say, better be careful, because I might not like you in a minute. Do you know that Jesus can love you and not like you? Now, this winds out some of your theology a little bit. You know, you just need to read your Bible and read about the God of the Bible. I'll let that sit with you for a few minutes. What did you mean by that? Think. Oh, there's an exercise in spirituality. Think. It's a revelation. Listen, please. I believe that we are moving into a season where God is looking for disciples and those who will be willing to be discipled and to make disciples. So that every relationship that you have, in fact, every conversation that you have, is focused around the purposes of God in your life and in the life of the person that you're speaking to. So that you're hearing the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to waste. We just simply don't have time to waste. So that every relationship is focused around the purposes of God and you're receiving what the Lord wants to give you and you speaking what the Lord wants you to speak to your brother and sister. So that if there's something inside of you that sees a person or your brother, your sister, that needs to be corrected, you will not hold back your love. You will pray, get the beam out of your own eye, humble your heart, and go to that person and say to that person, I see this in your life. If I'm wrong, I'm willing to be wrong, but I'd rather be wrong than be silent. I'd rather be wrong and you tell me that I'm wrong than not say anything at all. And if I'm wrong, praise the Lord, I'll go back to my prayer closet. I'll say to the Lord, Lord, if I missed it, show me. I'll go back to people that I love and I trust who are speaking into my life and say to them, look, did I miss it? Did I not hear the Lord? Whatever, because we all want to be right with God. Amen? Amen. We want to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. And for so many of us, church, if you will, whether it's a messianic congregation, a gathering of believers, has simply been a superficial exercise in religious game playing. It's been an exercise in simply going to a service, hearing something, promptly forgetting it, and coming back next week for more. Now listen, the psychologists will tell us that we only really get 10% of what you hear, say, in a lecture or in a message. So I know you're going to get 10%, but I hope that you'll get the 10% that Jesus wants you to get. So there are times in my message, and when I first started learning how to, the Holy Spirit was teaching me about preaching, I'd find myself repeating things. And then Janet would say, why did you repeat that two or three times? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it just kept coming back. And then the Lord began to say to me, because they didn't get it in the first third, and they didn't get it in the second third. By the time the third third came around, they finally got it and say, oh, that's good. So we are called, listen, beloved, we are called to do our homework and to be helpers of one another's joy. Amen. So we're not called just simply to go to a meeting, hear something, and promptly forget it, but we're called to be students of the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. So every time you come to a meeting, you should have a notebook and you should have a pen and you should be listening to the Holy Spirit speak. Whether it's in the worship or the Word or even the announcements. Have you ever got a revelation in the announcements? Some of you shaking your head. Yeah, you've been around church long enough. You were in some so boring services that the most exciting part was the announcements. It's happened. Somebody going to tell the truth with me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A couple of hands. Praise God. Honest souls. Praise the Lord. Some of you watching this, you're laughing because it's you. I think, listen, this is so crucial. If you as an individual, and remember, we all have a responsibility. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. You have a responsibility for one another. Yes, we all do. This is not a me and Jesus walk. It is a we and Jesus walk. Jesus is building a body, a bride that he is going to marry. And he's not going to marry everybody. Do you understand that? Read your Bible. Everybody who's saved is not part of the bride. Now, there's a bit of theology you can spin out, and you've got a theologian as a rabbi. Ask him. If you have questions, don't ask me. Ask him. He's really, Ed is good at pretending he's not smart, but I know him. So just make him do his job. You know what I mean? Call him up and say, what did he mean by that? Teach me about it. He's got the beard for the job. You know what I mean? He can stroke it. It's like, listen to me, please. The enemy is good at giving us substitutes. He's good at counterfeiting the truth And the counterfeit so looks like the real thing if you don't know the real thing that you buy into it, and we end up going to meetings, we end up just having services instead of being equipped for service. So the question, there's a long list of questions we should be asking one another that all center around what is for me a fundamental philosophy of ministry. What is the word of the Lord to you? What are you doing about it? And can I help you? And I may not be the one to help you, but somebody else might be the one to help you. And I might be want somebody to direct you to somebody who can help you. But it's helping you what? Do what the word of the Lord is to you. Abraham heard the word of the Lord and everything got started because of that. Abraham, I want you to leave your family and I want you to leave your country and I want you to literally, lech lecha, was go for yourself. And the first thing Abraham did is disobey. I want you to know that. Because our sister who read the scripture for us, we heard, lech lecha, go for yourself. And what did Abraham do? He took everybody with him. Follow what I'm saying to you. Because we have these illusions about men and women of God in the Bible, and we can see Abraham's disobedience, Abraham's temptation, and we learn from him as we're walking in the steps of Abraham, and we are called to help one another walk out the faith that God is putting in our heart. This is really important, because the challenge of the Lord for each of us as an individual is to hear his voice and then obey it. Hear his voice and then obey. This is biblical revelation of our relationship with the living God. Hear his voice and do it. Hear his voice and do it. Is that clear? I can repeat this many times. That's not a problem for me. Because sometimes I think we hear it, but we don't hear it because we want to hear, oh, I don't like that bit. Well, whether you like it or not, guess what? Isn't going to change anything because you're not that important. I was telling you that last night. There is somebody who is important. His name is Jesus. There's only going to be one name in lights up in heaven. It's not yours. It's not mine. Amen? Amen. He's king. He's not running for re-election. He's got a word. I know this so clearly, and I've observed it in all these years of walking with the Lord. He has a personal word for everybody. God had a personal word to Abraham and spoke it to him. He had a personal word for Isaac, for Jacob, for David, for everybody. And we see that same revelation all through the New Testament. To hear his word, this is our great inheritance. That we can have a personal relationship with the living God who created us in his image to fulfill what's in his heart. The great lie of the devil is to pervert that so that we live to fulfill our own fanciful fantasies. We live for ourselves rather than for the king. And the essence of the world is to live for yourself. The essence of the kingdom is to live to fulfill the will of God. So as Yeshua taught us to pray, and this is not the Lord's prayer, beloved, it's the disciples' prayer, because it was disciples that asked him to pray. How do we pray? Pray for God's will to be done in your life. For his rulership, that's what kingdom is. His rulership. One of the revelations of the Torah into the pagan world is that God is a king ruling a kingdom. And Jesus coming to explain to us more about the kingdom says, it is the Father's good pleasure, the king. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is an amazement. No, never in the history of the world has there been a king who wants to give his kingdom away. He looks at you with an attitude. The king looks at you with an attitude that says, I want to give you my kingdom. Can I give it to you? Every other king looks at you as somebody to intimidate, manipulate, and control, as some sort of chattel, some sort of, how shall I say this to you, somebody to use for their own power, a commodity to be bought, sold, used, or abused, and they don't really care about you at all. How many of you ever been involved in churches in which you were thought of as a commodity? Raise your hand. I want you to be honest. I want people to see it. Because so many of us have been abused in church situations, and we meet people like this all of the time. This is a great abomination. Let me tell you something. The day when the body of Christ, the day of judgment, when we stand before the Lord, is going not to be a pretty day. You need to read Luke 12 for just one of the scary chapters of the New Testament. We hear people talk about, you know, the meek and mild and gentle Jesus, which he is, thank God. Otherwise, we'd like be in trouble. Because, you know, thank God that God is good. Otherwise, he'd be dangerous. You understand this? So you need to read your New Testament about the dangerous side of God. Paul writes in Romans 11 to the church that in Rome, to the church that's allowing itself to be infected with replacement theology and anti-Semitism, behold the goodness and severity of God. If you remain arrogant against the Jewish people, you will be cut off. And that's what happened. Read the history of the church. That is what happened. You read Luke 12. And is it Matthew 20, a parallel verse where Jesus is talking about the unrighteous servant? These are servants. And he says to them, bring him and slay him in my presence. Now, maybe this would be a nice bumper sticker we should put out. Jesus said, slay him in my presence. Because I saw this, you know, this bumper sticker that said, you know, who would Jesus bomb? And I thought to myself, you know, there's probably a long list. But we don't see Jesus like that. And we don't, it's like we're not reading the Bible about the fierce wrath of the Lamb. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that Jesus comes and his vesture is dripped in blood. And I ask, you know, we ask, well, whose blood? And now people say, well, that's his blood and the blood of atonement. No, it's not. His blood went on the mercy seat so that forgiveness is offered to whosoever will believe. This is the blood of his enemies that he has slain. So we have a Jesus who is capable of killing his enemies. Read your Bible. We have a serious Savior who was a serious king who wants to give his kingdom away, and we can't play games. And I am just so more and more convinced as we're moving into this next season, In the kingdom, in the world, because it's changing. You don't have to be a prophet to know that the United States of America is changing. You don't have to be a prophet to know that the nations and the alignment of the nations is changing. The economic systems of the world are changing. This whole thing that we just went through, this is just a little shaking. And God promises to shake everything that can be shaken. When you're built upon the rock, you can't be shaken anymore. All the flesh, all the selfishness, all the idolatry is shaken out of you. Are you willing to let God shake your idols loose? Yeah. Oh, that was an important place to say amen. Some of you are thinking, oh no, don't please, I like my idols. I got cute fuzzy ones, you know. You know, I got a 60,000 sports car idol sitting in my car, in my garage. I got that big idol in my living room with the remote on it, you know. And the grandchildren idols. That, by the way, is a really profound amen. It's because I know how to interpret those things, you know what I mean? Because our children can be idols if we love them more than we love the Lord our God. What did in the revelation that Yahweh gave to Israel on the mountain, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, means literally, I am utterly unique, there is no God like me, because you're all surrounded by all these gods and all these idols, and I'm revealing to you who I'm like, and I want you to know at the beginning of the covenant, what did he say? I am jealous. I'm letting you know from day one. I'm not like any other God you've ever heard about, any other idol you've ever heard about. I am God Almighty. I'm the creator of heavens and the earth, and I am a jealous God. So he makes covenant with Israel at Sinai, which is basically a marriage covenant. You understand that. Some of you have been studying Jewish roots. You know these kinds of things. It was a betrothal ceremony. And he says to them, I'm going to marry you, essentially. I'm going to marry you, but I want you to know I am the king and I have everything and I will give you my kingdom, but don't commit adultery on me because I'm a jealous God. Read the covenants, read the Torah. If you break my covenant because I'm such a jealous God, I will kill you. Read the Torah. Now this is tough.
These are places where a lot of us don't go. We don't want to talk about this side of God. But behold the goodness and severity of God, and I would be derelict in my responsibilities not to talk to you about some of these kinds of things and share them with you for you to begin to study and think about and pray about. Because we say we believe the Bible, and here's the revelation of God in the Bible. And it's not a God that whether we like him or not, he is God and we are not. And either we're going to walk with him and submit to him as Lord, or we're not going to be doing it. And we have another religion, and there's lots of religions out there that are saying that they belong to Jesus and simply do not. Because they're about kissing each other's flesh and not discipling one another. And you can't disciple one another if you're afraid that somebody is going to reject you. You can't kiss somebody else's flesh and disciple them. You can't be afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. If somebody's feelings get hurt, it means there's something wrong. Listen, when you're in pain, it means that something's wrong in your body. When your feelings are hurt, it means that there's something wrong that you need to get right. Please, we must begin to get mature enough not to be concerned about hurting one another's feelings. Now, we're not going out of our way to be nasty or cruel or anything like that. But sometimes speaking the truth to somebody is of necessity going to hurt their feelings because they've got a tumor in their brain. The tumor of pride, selfishness, egotism, narcissism. Oh, we've run into a lot of that. People who are vying for position. People who are vying for titles. I have to be the head of whatever ministry. Line them up. I have to, you know, everybody has to listen to me preach and pray and prophesy. Excuse me, no, we don't. We have to listen to Jesus preach and pray and prophesy. If you're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, life is going to be received. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth. They are life-giving. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? I believe listen to me, God wants to raise the whole standard and our whole understanding and our whole commitment to what it means to be a disciple. So here's the king wanting to give his kingdom away. Here's the king me bringing a revelation of himself to all of Israel and saying to them, listen, I am a jealous God. Here is the nature of my covenant. If you will obey me, if you will keep my commandments, if you will do the mitzvot, the commandments, if you will keep my statutes and my judgments, if you will allow me to teach and train you, you will be the head and you will not be the tail. No enemy, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. But if you disobey me, my fierce anger will burn against you, because God is a jealous God. And this is, you must understand all of this in the dynamic of a husband and a wife, and Israel being covenanted as the wife of the Lord. And you see the prophets referring to this constantly. How do the prophets speak of Israel's sin? In terms of adultery. In terms of this sexual sins that you lift your legs for anybody that passes by. You know, you go whoring after other gods. And Israel gets judged because God, this is the nature of God. As he has revealed it to us in the pages of Scripture. So is this the God we want to deal with? That was a good place to say yes. Because yeah. You're not saying yes to me. He's watching. Because he's looking in our heart. Because we say, oh, Lord, we want to get to know you. We say, really? Now that you've heard a little bit of this stuff, you sure you want to get to know me? Because I'm not like you think I am. Because you can't tame me. And I'm not one of those idols that you can control. That's why people love their idols, because they can control them. And there's much, 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 much idolatry. I'm telling you, I know this from the bottom of my heart. Paul says, I believe it, so I'm speaking it. So I'm telling you what I believe God has given me, that Jesus is coming to remove idolatry from the whole church. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. Not going to be a pretty picture. The same God who said to Moses and then to Joshua, when you go into the land, I want you to clean all the idols out of the land. And this is now highly politically incorrect. I want you to kill everybody who's there. Now, we don't like this kind of a God. Men, women, children, kill them all. Oh, well, you know, we're very, very, very tolerant and we're multicultural. And this is not God. Read your Bible. When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, he didn't mean me and everybody else. So, you know, these are dynamics that in our culture, we're not used to. We want to kind of somehow or another modify that a little bit. We want to water it down. But I tell you, listen to me, please. You weigh these words. My job is to share with you what God is putting in my heart. Your job is to test it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not hinder prophetic utterances. Don't put, in the New International Version, don't put the Spirit's fire out, but test everything that you hear. And by the way, just because somebody sends it out in an email on the internet doesn't make it truth. The internet is a swamp of stuff. And you need a good filter. Because anybody used to be a modem, now it's a high-speed internet connection and a keyboard, thinks they have a revelation from God. So you need to be really judicious. John chapter 7, I believe it is, Jesus said, judge righteous judgment, do your homework. Be soaked in the Word of God, listen to me, and surround yourself, you be proactive in this, surround yourself with men and women who are pursuing the kingdom. And if they're not pursuing the kingdom, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. If they're not pursuing the kingdom, say to them, I'm pursuing the kingdom. If you're coming with me, bless you. Let's go together. We'll learn how to relate to each other on this level. If you're not, I'm not wasting my time with you. And yes, you will be persecuted. Yes, they'll say nasty things to you. Yes, you will be called intolerant and all those other kinds of things. Can I tell you, following out the revelation of God in the tabernacle as one example of this, that the tabernacle was covered with a thick, ugly, hard kind of skin. It was a ram skin. It was ugly. It was weather-beaten. It was storm-beaten. It was hard. And I tell you, I learned from that that you need to have a thick skin. But inside of that hard external covering was the Holy Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory in manifestation. Amen. So if you have a thick skin, you can have the anointing and you can protect it. So what comes to you from the outside doesn't affect you, but what comes from the inside affects the outside. You follow what I'm saying to you? It does not get to your heart. You guard your heart, you protect it. And you're going to need to protect your heart because people will say evil things to you. They will say nasty things to you. They will say nasty things about you. But if you've got a thick skin, it doesn't get into your heart. You protect it. But what comes out of you to them comes from the Holy of Holies that you got guarded in your heart, and love and peace and joy comes out of you. Amen. That was a good place to say amen. Because this is what the Abba is looking for. Do you understand that? This is a rigorous training opportunity called life on earth. So God creates life just the way it is. With its problems, with its pains, with its difficulties, with its trials and its tribulations and its tests galore. How many of you discovered that life is not easy? If your hand isn't up, I want to talk to you because you're deluded or you're not alive. So Abba, our Heavenly Father who loves us, puts us into this rigorous training program called life. With its trials and its tribulations and its pain and all the suffering inherent in it. And Jesus said this. He said, look, I am sending you as lambs among wolves. Thank you very much. Is this the best program you could devise? Now, you don't say that, but you think it in your heart. Therefore, since I am sending you as lambs among wolves. Therefore, be wise as the serpent. We need serpentine wisdom to outfox the fox, to outsmart the devil, so that you can see him coming. I think it's Ecclesiastes 11. It says there are four things that are too hard to understand. The way of the bird in the air, the way of the ship on the sea, the way of a man with the maid, and the way of the serpent on the rock. And all of those are representative of things that if you don't watch it while it's happening, you miss it. You see the bird flying in the air. Once the bird is gone, you don't know that the bird was in the air. It does not leave a trail. Once the ship has gone by in the sea, you don't see where the ship was. You don't even know the ship was there. And the way of the man with the maid, well, that's that whole romantic stuff that still befuddles me, so just ask my Janet. You know, I'm one of those guys that's clueless about that kind of stuff, so you can pray for me. Thank you. Whoever said that, you... There's an honest brother in the house. Bless you. Bless you. Just a guy, you know. Just a guy thing. Some of you ladies know you're going like this. That's the truth. Trying to be honest with you, beloved. And then there is the last one, the way of the serpent on the rock. So in order to know that the serpent is active, you got to see it, or you have to have a discernment that says, I can smell the devil. I discern his activity. I see it in their tone of voice. I see it in the language that they use. I see it in their relationships, and then you confront it. You confront the lie. You confront, and Satan's lie is always after the same thing. Do you understand that his prize is your calling? His prize is your calling. That's what he's after. Because this is the thing that Jesus wants to give you and do in you, and that's what he wants to steal from you, because how many times have you discovered that when you stop really being serious about God, life gets a little easier? And how many times have you discovered that when you repent, you have a wonderful service at the congregation and you repent, you run into hell in a way that you didn't run into it before? When you're saying, yes, Jesus, thank you, you run into all kinds of stuff. You know what stuff is, right? Don't have to define it for you. Because you became proactively on the offensive against the gates of hell, my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church, meaning we are all supposed to be on the offensive. And when you go through those gates and you start rattling them, the demons fall out. And they say, excuse me, but who the hell are you? Now, these are the demons talking. So don't be offended by my choice of language. Hell, it's a Bible word. Don't get offended. Because you're coming against what? The very authorities of hell itself. And God has given you an authority to do that. I'm sending you as a lamb among wolves. Therefore, I want you to eat wolf chops. And in case some of you are asking, wolf chops are now kosher. Behold, all authority on heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, I'm sending you. So I have an authority to make wolf chops kosher in the name of Jesus. And if you have a religious spirit, you're not going to like that at all. But enjoy, you know. But the reality is, life is hard. The reality is, there's pain, there's problems, there's trials, there's difficulties. Because Jesus is wanting to know, are you worthy of sitting on my throne with me? Can I entrust my kingdom to you? These are the parables. Here is the king ministering amidst his people, saying to them, and you know, Jesus only preached about the kingdom of God. Read the Bible. He said, it is for this reason that I have come forth to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Malachi, I think it's chapter 5, it says the king is leading the breakout. And here is the king, because only the king can give his kingdom away. Only the king can do that. So the king comes wanting to give his kingdom to whosoever. I love this about Jesus. He has no taste. He hangs out with anybody. Look around. And we don't choose who comes in. And we don't choose who sits next to us. You ready for the next level? We don't get to choose who befriends us. Uh-oh, now I'm really getting like... So God, in his sense of humor, and in his testing you, what will you do with this individual who's calling you up? Will you always never be available?
Doesn't your cell phone ever work? Every time I call you, there's nobody there.
You're laughing because they call you? or you're the person who's calling. So here's Abba. Okay, what are you going to do? Oh, God.
Here we go again.
Lord. There must be some verse appropriate that I could, like, get rid of this person in the name of Jesus. And the Lord, now, seriously, though, this is because this is really important. He looks at you. Can I entrust you with my kingdom? Here's the parables of the king, the wealthy man. And he gives of himself 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. He gives it. Then he comes back and says, what did you do with what I gave you? Oh, you know, I was like busy. You know, I had like a bad background and I was abused. And I'm not trying to minimize your pain. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Because we make all these excuses. This is the one with the man with the one. Well, I thought you were, you know, you were like a wicked man. You know, like you were reaping, you know, where you didn't sow. And I wasn't going to be able to fulfill anything. So I just buried my talent. In other words, I really didn't want to obey you. And here are my justifications. Here are my excuses for my willing disobedience. I had a bad life. I had a bad wife. Or husband. Problems at home, problems at work. I was really busy. You know, pension, car, children, education, college. You know, it was the rabbi's fault. It was the pastor's fault. That's why pastors get blamed for a lot of things they are not guilty of. And rabbis as well. See, we're all, because we are natural born rebels and idolaters, until we go to the cross and surrender, we're really good at making excuses. Well, you know, I didn't really know what to say to that person. Okay, what does the king then expect of you when that phone rings? James 1:5, ask for wisdom. And the wisdom might be, why don't you call somebody else? No, seriously, what is the wisdom? Because then Abba is saying, can I entrust you with the souls of my people? Can I entrust you with my possessions? Can I entrust you with my kingdom? And so everybody, listen to me, we're all in the same difficulties. You know, we're all, the situations might change, but we can relate to one another's pain. We can relate to one another's challenges. We can relate to being rejected. We can relate to being abandoned. We can relate to all of the challenges of being alone, dealing with loneliness, dealing with pressure, dealing with sickness, dealing with family members, feeling with the loss of loved ones, bereavement, dealing with situations that, you know, we absolutely cannot explain as to, excuse me, why things happen. These are experiences that are common. So we can relate to one another. But so in the midst of all of this, life as it exists, God is in the midst of us asking simple and profound, eternally defining questions. Can I entrust you with my kingdom? Will you obey me? So you run into the place where you just don't know. You're beside yourself. You can't go forward. You can't go backward. You love God, but you can't obey. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're stuck. So instead of backsliding and then justifying your sin, those hypocrites in church, that person who I trusted, they betrayed my trust. Therefore, I'm not going to follow Jesus. What a stupid philosophy of life that is. Why would you let someone else's stupidity and hypocrisy define your destiny? You know, people come to me, I'm not going to church anymore. There are hypocrites in church. I say, why does this surprise you? When you need a good hypocrite, where do you go? You go to church. That's where you find them. I've never heard anybody say, I'm not going to that nightclub anymore. There are hypocrites there. I've never heard that. So of course there are hypocrites here. Jesus said that would be the nature of the church. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who casts a net into the deep and brings up all manner of creatures. Look around. Now listen, I'm wanting to be a disciple. I'm wanting to pursue the purposes of God in my life. Because of that, I'm making a decision. I'm going to be in fellowship with men and women who have that heart for me as I have for them. So if the hypocrites, you know, those ugly creatures that dwell on the bottom, that got into the net, and they want to influence my life with toxins, I have an authority that says to them, no. Do you know you have the right to say no? You have the right to say to individuals, I am not going to have a relationship with you because you are not in a passionate pursuit of the King. I tell you that, that's a great conversation stopper right away. When that person calls you up to whine and complain, but we're done with gossip. Well, last night we put an end to that, right? We're done with that. And there's no whining, because there is no whining in the kingdom of God. I tell people this, the complaint department of heaven is closed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So don't call me and complain. Don't let anybody complain to you, because the complaint department is closed. Stop them and say, are you in a passionate pursuit of the purposes of God in your life?
Well, you know, I don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay, I'll explain it to you. And if you keep calling me, I'm going to preach the truth to you. I'm going to counsel you with the word of God. I'm going to tell you to get to the cross, die to yourself. Stop whinging and whining and complaining. Stop gossiping and slandering. Start doing your homework. Start going to the meeting. Start praising and worshiping and studying the Bible. Let me tell you, if they're not a disciple, they will stop calling you. Because your passionate pursuit of the purposes of God in your life will keep away from you everybody who doesn't want it and will attract to you everybody who does. Because listen to me, God is looking for somebody, anybody, because he's no respecter of persons who he can entrust his kingdom to. And we got lots of people going to churches all the time that are not passionate lovers of Jesus. They are not passionately pursuing him. And I tell you, when you get the Holy Spirit, who is on fire, gets inside of you, there's a passion for Jesus. So one of the things I love about our elder sister, Millie, she's got a passion for Jesus. This little old lady got lit up and has kept her fire burning. That's right. Hallelujah. And Millie, sometimes people don't like to be around you because your passion convicts them of their laziness and mediocrity. And we should do that. We should have that kind of light and salt effect on one another. Beware, Jesus said, when all men speak well of you. At least I know I have fulfilled one commandment. That ain't the truth. They ain't not speaking well of me. That's good. I have learned about Holy Ghost popcorn. When all this stuff is going on, instead of being upset, woe is me, poor me, why don't they like me? Go to the cross, die to myself, and watch the show. Because they're mad, or they're slandering, or they're gossiping. And I'm thinking, look at all the time and energy and long-distance phone bills that they're wasting on me. So why not enjoy the show? Put the popcorn on. Enjoy the show. Oh, some of you need to get that. And no, we do not sell Holy Ghost popcorn with the CDs.
Do you have Holy Ghost popcorn I could buy?
Amen. It's this. It's, listen to me, please. I'm glad we're laughing because the Lord, you know, the merry heart doeth good like medicine. And God has a great sense of humor. Have you discovered this about the Lord? God has such a sense of humor. We were visiting our beloved sister Jackie when she had her big puffer fish. Some of you may have seen this.
And this was an amazing little creature. And Jackie is a lover of God's creatures, and I just think that's fabulous, you know. And I was in the other room, and all of a sudden I heard this scream. This little pufferfish was looking at Janet and Jackie in this huge tank, and he kind of swam and then just threw all of this water on Janet, and she was soaked. And it was like this little fish was laughing at her. And Abba was laughing at this, you know. I mean, this fish just, how does a fish do that? He just swam in a certain way and just dumped all of this fish water on her. It was just fabulous. We were laughing like mad. Listen to me. Are you willing to be a student in the school of the Spirit? Because I tell you, there is joy unspeakable in this classroom if you will let Jesus lead you and guide you. If you're not whinging and whining and complaining, why is this happening to me? That you put all of that aside and say, Abba, listen, I thank you for my pain. Listen, I thank you for this difficulty. You in your goodness and kindness and mercy have allowed this to happen in my life. I'm no longer in the whinging and whining. I am a disciple of the kingdom of God. I want to be taught of the Lord because I want to prove to you on that day that you can entrust your kingdom to me. Jesus said, if we can't entrust you with natural wealth, who is going to entrust you with eternal riches? Revelation chapter 3, if you overcome like I have overcome, then you will sit on my throne with me as I have overcome and I sit on my Father's throne with him. This is Jesus speaking to each of us individually. That has nothing to do with your spouse, has nothing to do with your parents or your children or your job or your finances or any such thing. He's looking into your soul and asking you this question. So now you have a situation that God, have you ever noticed how God can go out of his way to arrange stuff in your life? It's like, man, this is wild. Like, you know, this is a complex coordination of people, places, situations, and arrangements to bring this trial to me. Wow. This is not like out-of-the-box trials. You know, these are custom-made just for you. Like I share with you, you know, chasing a train on a platform in the middle of the Czech Republic at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking, this guy's got my luggage, the train is pulling out, and if I don't get on that train, and my wife, she's sprinting, she's on a 50-yard dash with two pieces of carry-on luggage. I mean, Jesus, you got a sense of humor. So we're in this, and we're not, oh God, why did you let that happen? Now we're all tied. And there was none of that. Just like, thank you, Jesus, we're on the train. Okay, listen, this is really important. What is it that you want to teach me? Because you've created this situation, the good, the bad, and the ugly situation, these people in my life, these things, stuff that's going on that I don't like. How many of you know that God doesn't care if you don't like it or not? When was the last time Jesus asked you this question? Are you happy? Is this good for you? I have never once heard a prophecy, yea, verily, yea, thus says the Lord. Are you guys happy? Never heard that. Never read it. Never read it in any history book, biography, or scripture. Because God, listen to me, God is not concerned with your happiness. He is concerned with your maturity. So he will bring stuff into your life that will make you profoundly unhappy. So now you're saying to him, God, I am so unhappy. I do not like this. Well, you know, this raises several issues between you and I. First is, I don't care that you're unhappy. The question is, will you let me teach you what I want to teach you in your unhappiness? Because, catch this, and this is where it gets so intense. He said, I can put my joy in you that is unspeakable, full of my glory, that transforms you in the midst of your situation. Because you make yourself a disciple in the midst of your pain. You don't try and get rid of the pain. Rabbi, pray for me
that the pain would leave. Or we'll pray the prayer of agreement. Can I convince two or more people to pray for me so that God would change his mind? That's what some of us think the prayer of agreement is. Like God says, oh, you got two people to agree. Oh, yes, of course, now you can manipulate me. I forgot about that. What are we agreeing? We're agreeing that God's will would be done. Now you got people who are really passionate in pursuing the purposes of God praying for you. Then the word of the Lord starts to come out of their spirit and they prophesy to you. And perhaps you would prefer that he didn't, because the word might come die to yourself. But when you understand, oh, saints, if you understand the life-transforming work of the cross, when you're in the midst of the pain, instead of wishing and creating that whole internal turmoil, because the more you wish for it, you know, the more you're not going to get it. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Instead of saying, oh, God, change this, your prayer should be, oh, Lord, thank you for this, change me. I don't want to miss the moment. I only got so many days on the earth. I don't want to waste my pain. I don't want to waste my trial. I don't want to miss this because I don't want to go through it again. Okay, we're done chasing trains, all right? Because we learned that lesson. We're rejoicing in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Yes, okay, cool, right, good. Follow what I'm trying to say to you. So in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty, instead of saying, oh, Lord, I wish my life was different, saying, God, thank you for this gift you've given me, this gift of life, this gift of trial, this gift of pain that I'm in the midst, what do you want to teach me? I am a disciple. That is the essence of discipleship, is being taught by the Lord. The great why of all of this is to test you to see if you are worthy to sit on his throne, to rule and reign with him. Why is this going on? Because God wants to teach you and train you. Because God is testing you to see if you can be the kind of person that he can entrust his kingdom to. Salvation is a free gift. He purchased it for you. It had nothing to do with you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust, to make an atonement for our sins. Salvation is an utterly free gift. None of us deserve it. He gives it to us. Sanctification, discipleship, costs you everything. Salvation is a free gift. Discipleship is expensive. When you give him your heart, the only thing you have, you say to him, yes, whatever you want, thy will be done. And when you pray that prayer, thy will be done, you know, silly Jesus, he believes you mean it. And he starts to do stuff in your life. And you're going, when did I sign up for this? When you prayed the prayer, you know, he gave you a blank contract, said, thy will be done between Jesus Christ and sign your name. You sign your name. Next morning, you wake up, hell breaks loose. When did I sign up for this? Oh, yesterday, when you signed the contract. Then you open the contract, and there it is. The first line is written in. Are you willing to walk with God? See, listen to me. When you put yourself in this place, you open yourself to the great Holy Spirit being your personal tutor. You open yourself for the Holy Spirit to bring to you the revelation you need, the books or the people or the situations or the circumstances. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because you make yourself a disciple and you're in the midst of things you don't understand, but you're praying, Abba, what do you want to teach me? And you've gone into a bookstore. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go into a bookstore and the Lord leads you by the Spirit to a book. And you open the book and you're flipping through the pages and you get to a chapter. And he leads you in that chapter to a particular paragraph. And in the paragraph there's a particular sentence. And woof, there's the word of the Lord to you. And you don't even have to buy the book. Thanks. So how many of you, put your hands up, how many of you had experiences like that? Look at all these hands. Why? Because you made yourself a disciple and God brought to you a person, a situation, a circumstance, a revelation, a word, because God is faithful to bring His word to pass in your life. But it's only according to your heart that says, yes, Lord, teach me and train me. I want to be a disciple. I want to prove to you that I'm worthy to sit on your throne. And nothing else is important. The ministry is not important. Leading worship isn't important. Preaching or teaching isn't important. Your money isn't important. Your job, your future, your success, your status. None of that stuff is important. The only thing that's important is hearing Him say on the great day, well done. Because then He says, I can trust you. And if everybody says, well, why are you giving her? Why is she on your throne? So he'll say, well, let me show you. All the books are going to be opened. You know that. Daniel, is it chapter 5 or chapter 8, where it was the revelation of Jesus. It says, and the books are open. So there's the book of her life. You know, somebody's saying, well, God, you weren't fair. Or you weren't righteous. Why is she getting those rewards? Well, come here, let's read her book. Yeah, because, you know, you're not getting it. Well. You know, we're going to go through the fire, all of us. And your life will become evident. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Now you find your whole life is wood, hay, and stubble, and someone else is gold, silver, and gemstones. When my daughter Brianna was about 12 years old, we were talking about this scripture. She said to me, she put a little hand on her hip. She said to me, you know, Daddy, God has it right. You do good things, you get jewelry. The girls particularly like that interpretation of the Bible. So you're going through the fire, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone, and you're wondering, why is my life gold, silver, precious stones, or my life wood, hay, and stubble? And God says, well, let's open the book. Because where you had similar lives. Where you said no, she said yes. Where you said no, she said yes. Where you said no, she said yes. Where you heard the word and you resisted it, she heard the word and she repented. Where she said yes, you said no. End of story. So who's going on with God? God has no favorites. He has intimates. And why does He have intimates? Because you choose to be intimate with Him. Amen. You choose to spend time in prayer. You choose to spend time in the Word. You choose to spend time in worship. You choose to be intimate with Him. And because you're intimate with Him, you're hearing what He's saying. Well, why does God talk to you so much? I never hear nothing. Well, how much time do you spend with Him? Well, hardly any. Well, if you spend time listening, He's always talking. How many of you know God has a lot to say? He's just looking for somebody to talk to. So please do not think that God has favorites. He just has intimates, people who spend time listening. Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? Let me say this to you and then we're going to pray. God is looking for disciples. If you make yourself a disciple on a greater and deeper level than you've ever made it before, that says, Lord, teach me. This is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about you and what you want, because I want what you want. You want to teach me to rule and reign. So I'm going to learn how to rule and reign over my thoughts and feelings. I'm going to rule and reign over my emotions. I'm going to rule and reign over my tongue. I'm going to rule and reign over my ears, what I hear. I'm going to rule and reign over my finances. I'm going to rule and reign over my weight. I'm going to rule and reign over everything in my life that you're showing me. I'm going to rule and reign over my closet. That was like a word for somebody here. You know, it's like, I never saw that one before. So it's like, all of a sudden I saw these creatures in there. You know, you're afraid. There's like an octopus hiding behind all of that. It's like, no, I can't go near the closet. There's the shoe monster in there, you know. 10,000 pairs of shoes. Oh, there's an idol, by the way. Let's kill that one. Oh, no, I'm not that holy yet, brother. So,
You rule and reign. Maybe you think, you know, there is a sacredness. There is a sacredness to the mundane things of life. Where you're listening to the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. This last testimony I want to share with you before we pray, because the Lord is quickening this to me. We had spoken at a conference in South Carolina. We were driving home and talking now about God ruling and reigning over circumstances, okay? Being intimate with Him, listening to His voice in what might appear to you to be odd or irrelevant or almost silly ways. But God tests you in that as well. So we're on the highway driving from South Carolina back to Atlanta, and I need to use the men's room. So I said to Janet, would you pull over at the next exit? I need to use the men's room. And she says to me, no, I can't. I said, why not? She says, I have to stop at exit 166, was it? I said, what's special about exit 166? Please, I need to go to the bathroom. And she's driving, so you know, and she's in the left lane. She's not getting off. And she's thinking it was because the gas was a little cheaper there. Well, how are we going to save? $2? You know, it's like a penny less. She says, no, I just, the Lord is telling me we have to get off at that exit. Whatever number it was far away. And I'm watching exits go by. There's a bathroom there. See, McDonald's? But you know, both of us, listen to me, this is one of the strengths of our relationship. We've been married like 32 years now. This is one of the strengths of our relationship, that we respect each other's spirit. So if she says, I got something in my spirit, I respect that. And we don't use it to manipulate one another, okay? So, okay, finally, this exit comes. She pulls in, and I'm making a beeline to the men's room. And as I'm walking rather rapidly, there are three people in this little food area praying over their food. And as I'm walking by, I'm watching them say grace, but they're not just praying over their food. They're prophesying over one another, and they're speaking the word of the Lord to one another, and it's all the kingdom talk that I'm used to hearing. You know, so I'm thinking, I'd love to listen to this, but I am on a mission. Go to the bathroom. I'm hearing them pray in the men's room. When I come out, they're still praying. So there's three of them sitting at a table for four. Their eyes are closed. They're praying for one another. So I decide to sit down at their table and just wait, you know, so that they open their eyes. I'm sitting there, and they're looking at me like... And I said, I heard your prayers, and I listened to the prophetic words you were speaking to one another, and I had to meet you, so I'm just waiting for you to finish. And then so we started to share who they are and who I was, and the Lord created in this moment of time this fabulous divine connection that opened up other doors for us, because they invited us to a meeting of business leaders. And this was really one of the confirmations to the Lord that He is using, or intends to use us in marketplace ministry on some level or another, because other things have been added to this, and invited us to a conference the next weekend back where we had just come from, which we didn't know about. And so we prayed for one another, and they bought bunches of my CDs, which is a real thank you, Jesus, kind of moment for me. And... Then we went back to that conference. We got a lovely email from the leader of the conference inviting us to come. We met fabulous people who are trying to be prophetic investors and listen to the word of the Lord in terms of the economy and where things are going and what to invest in, you know. And we met some other people and a whole another level of relationship with people that we had never known. We met at this conference because Jesus was saying, you must stop at exit 32. And I'm like, can we please stop this car? But being trained as a disciple, she's saying, no, we have to go to that one. I'm saying, okay.
Darling, when you got to go 7 miles, could be 700 miles. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is there an amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Abba, we desire so much to be intimate with you. To hear your voice. To not be whingers and whiners and complainers. To not wish our life was different. To not wish that situations were different. But instead, Lord, to thank you for what is. That you have brought to us. That we might, in the midst of what is, say to us, what do you want us to learn? Because we want to prove ourselves worthy of your kingdom. To rule and reign with you in your throne. You've purchased our souls. Now, Lord, you are wanting to teach us how to rule and reign with you, and that is what we desire. To know you, the real God, the God of judgment, the God of wrath, as well as the God of mercy. Because you're revealing who you really are to us. The God of the marriage, the God of the betrothal, the God of the wedding feast, the God of the throne, the God of the universe. And you want to teach us in the midst of all this pain and trial and tribulations, help us learn these things. Plow, Lord, deep into our souls so that there would only be a yes. And give us comrades on the journey. Divine relationships that nurture, that support, that encourage. And help us to learn who to say no to. And to say, listen, if you're not in a passionate pursuit of the King's purposes, I don't have anything in common with you. To know you, the only true God in Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you have sent. To know the Lord, to love the Lord. This is what you put in our hearts, Abba. Help us. Help us, help us, help us. Send your comfort to us in a new and fresh way. Holy Spirit, wherever we have grieved you, we repent. Wherever we have grieved you, Holy Spirit, and not even been aware of it, because we're so caught up in our idolatry and so caught up in our flesh and in ourselves, and we've grieved you and we didn't even realize it because we were so hard-hearted or hard of hearing or blind. Forgive us. We repent. Holy Spirit, come afresh. You who dwell in us. Come afresh as our teacher. Come afresh as our tutor. Come afresh as our guide. Come afresh as a revealer to us. Thank you, Abba, that you sent your precious Holy Spirit to be our personal instructor. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us brothers and sisters in the faith to help us on our journey.